Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Well, just like that, we will begin. My name is Danny Zees. I'm super excited to be here. I have the most ridiculous life in which I'm so excited to share with you. It is pretty fantastic when I consider that life as an escape artist, a hypnotist, a magician, a speaker, an author has literally taken me worldwide. Super excited to be on here with you and to share a little bit about that. And what really is important is us talking about legacy. I had the opportunity to listen to so many people talk about what legacy is and what it means to them. And I am the master of escaping the most ridiculous things. And I learn from everything and everybody that I talk to. And I was looking up what legacy means. And it says the long-lasting impact of a particular event or action that took place in the past or in a person's life. And I thought, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? And it didn't mean what I thought. I had to think about it. Legacy takes me back to where I came from. And I take a look at my life as a child, and I grew up in a very, very poor system with not a lot of financial or family resources. And at a very young age, I lived on my own at 13 years old. I became homeless and had to survive for myself. And when I think of legacy, I thought, I wonder if I should talk about being homeless and succeeding and getting a job and moving forward. And I don't really think that that's my legacy. I think that was my journey. So then I thought about victories and goals that I had set for myself. I graduated high school, and I thought that is pretty incredible. No one else in my family had done so, but that was just a goal, and it was a little victory in a portion of my life. When I graduated high school, I started a business with no experience, having never done business, having never worked in the industry, and with very little money and resources, I opened up a business that I grew to be a multi-million-dollar business. And I thought, that is my legacy. I created a franchise and a business that has been running for over 30 years. I really don't think that's my legacy. I got married and had children. And when I look at my children and the importance of them in my life and watching them grow and develop and falling in love with them and watching their victories and their failures and trying to be a support in whatever way I can be, I thought maybe that's legacy. And it's still not. It just was a question that I had a hard time deciding on what legacy was for me. And I think it had nothing to do with any success that I've ever had in the past. So I look back and I thought of a few times that I wanted to share with you. When I was 13 years old, I was in woodworking class, and the woodworking teacher, I'm confident, knew that I was homeless or not well. Perhaps it was the fact that I wasn't doing laundry or I wasn't showered enough or whatever he's seen, but he managed to find a cabinet company that would offer me a job. And at 13, nobody wants to hire a 13-year-old. So I'm sure it was a friend or somebody that that man could lean on. But he told me one day after class that my woodworking skills were good enough that I should go apply at this cabinet shop. And I went to the cabinet shop at the end of a school day, and I took the city bus, and I got off the bus, and I was walking to the front of the business, and there was three men standing out in front of the business. And as I approached them, one of the men looked at me and said, "Look at your shoes." And I looked down at them and I didn't quite understand. And he said, "Look at your shoes." And I looked down at them and they were tired. They were tired and they were worn and there was holes in them and they were dirty. And the man looked at me and he said, "Look at us three men as we talk. We stand in a circle, and as we stand, we look down at our feet. It's natural when you're with people in a circle talking to look down. When you look down and you see somebody's shoes and they're worn and holy like that, it's a representation of how they live their life. So this man that I had never met before and I never knew reached down into his pocket and pulled out some money and he handed me a $50 bill. And he said, "Don't come back unless you have new shoes." So I left. I jumped on a bus and I went to our mall and I searched and I searched and I found the whitest pair of leather running shoes that I could buy. And I thought to myself, I'm going to buy white shoes so that he can see that they're clean and they're good. And the next day, I took the bus back to there and I very proudly walked in with those shoes. And I found the man and he was working at the back and I went over and I said, "Hi, look at my shoes." And he smiled and said, "Those are good shoes." Such an interesting concept and a perspective, because the man influenced me in a way that he didn't realize. I understood moving forward at that point the importance of how I looked and how I was perceived by other people. Those shoes lasted me a very long time because I thought that it gained a special perspective with that person. I thought that when that man seen me in those white shoes, he respected me more or had better hope for me in some fashion. So at the end of the day, I would go home and I would wipe them down or clean them. I wouldn't step in puddles or I wouldn't kick things with them. I was careful how I stepped because I knew that there was magic in these shoes. I knew that if I kept them clean, people would perceive me different. Many years went by working with that man, and I was 15 years old, and we were on a construction site, and I was working away, and the construction foreman in the region showed up, the inspector. And as he was looking around, he seen me, and he said, "Who is this boy? Why is this boy here?" And the man who'd given me the money for the shoes, he looked quickly and he said, "He's my son." That man's name was Glenn. And from that point forward, I called him father or I called him dad from that point forward. It started out just almost as a joke. And it grew into a real love and a relationship with him and his family. And we were close for so many years until he passed away. And I tell you this story because when we talk about legacy, that man would probably never understand how much of an influence he left with me just by saying, "Look at your shoes." I can say that having him as a father type figure or having somebody who I could look up to certainly was very, very important, but it was the power in what he was suggesting or sharing with me that he probably never thought of again, but it influenced me my entire life. To this day, it's 45 years later and you'll never see me without a pair of white shoes. He influenced me in such a fashion that taught me to be careful where I step, what I do, where I go, and how people perceive me. And that took me a long way. My career took off. The Danny Z persona as a hypnotist and as an entertainer took off. And I became very, very busy. Over the years, my show grew. I found a theater in Niagara Falls that hired me. And we had a 700-person theater that we did two shows a day, 7 days a week. For 7 years, we did shows. And I can look at that and think maybe that success was legacy for me. Maybe that was the importance of my career, my opus. Maybe I've grown so much in my life, far past the white shoes and Glenn, far past the graduation or the things that had happened into my life. And now this legacy was me being a headline entertainer in a major city. And I look back at all of those shows, and it was like Groundhog Day. Every single show was the same. Every day was the same. But in the very end, the show wasn't a measurement of my success. It was how I was able to influence people, I think, that made that so essentially important. And I'll give you an example. At the end of every dough, at the end of every day, we would finish our show, and as we would be cleaning up in the back, there would be people that we called waiters. My staff and I would say, "There's a few waiters for you." And the theater would all clean out, and people would stop and get pictures and do all of those things. You would do it at the end of the show, but there would always be two or three or four people who would just sit in the back in the audience or where their original seats were, and they wouldn't leave. And one of my producers would say, "You got three waiters." And I would clean myself up and I would walk out, and I would very politely say, "Did you enjoy the show? Or what can I do for you?" It depended on the. So as they waited in the back and I would interact with them, this one gentleman in particular was sitting there. And I said to the gentleman, I walked up and I said, "Did you enjoy the show?" And he politely nodded. And I said, "Would you like a picture, an autograph? Is there something that I could do for you?" And he shook his head no. And I said, "What can I do for you?" And he took out a pad and paper and he started to write a note. And he turned the page towards me, and I could read what he had written. And he wrote, "I stutter." So I said, "Okay." And then he wrote, "Help me," and underlined it a few times. So I said, "What can I do for you? What, how can I help you?" And he wrote, "Hypnotize." So I had hypnotized so many people on so many different occasions for so many reasons, but I had never helped somebody with a stuttering problem. So I said, "Well, I can't help you now, but why don't you call me later and I'll see what I can do." I never like to give out my phone number, so I don't know why I did this, but I gave him my personal phone number, and we're going to say for conversation's sake that his name is John. So I gave John my phone number and I left, and he left. And later that evening, about 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening, my phone rang and I said, "Hello." And there wasn't somebody on the other end of the line. And I said, "Is this John?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "John, I went online and I couldn't find anything to help you. I couldn't find any other hypnotists or hypnotherapists that had worked with stutterers." And he said, "Please, please." So I just thought about it for a moment and I gave him my home address, which isn't something I would never normally do. And I said, "Can you come first thing in the morning tomorrow at 9 o'clock?" And he said, "Yes." And he hung up the phone and that was it. The next morning at 9 o'clock, John arrived and knocked on my door, and I invited him into my home and I brought him to my dining room table. My dining room table is not unlike anybody else's, a standard table, seat six, with a big picture on the wall, a mirror on the other, and we have a small piano that my daughter plinks at, just a dining room. And I sat him down and I asked him a number of questions related to hypnotherapy. And at one point, with his pen, he took it out and he wrote, "I sing." So I read that and I said, "John, you sing? What do you mean you sing?" And he started to sing. And it was a beautiful song. And he could sing without stuttering. And it just flew, came out of his mouth like poetry. It was wonderful. And I asked him to stop. And I don't know why I did this, but I put my hand on his shoulder and I did what we call rapid induction, where you put somebody to sleep very rapidly. And I said, "John, sleep." And I put him under hypnosis right there on the dining room table. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "John, I want you to say my name over and over. Dan, 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 Dan," like that. And he started to do it. And as he was saying my name over and over, I found that key note on the piano, ding, 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 that matched the sound of him saying my name. And I said, "The person I'm touching now, John, when you open your eyes, you'll never use this tone, ding, 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 again. You'll use this one." And I hit the piano key next to it, which was slightly higher, ding, ding, ding. So I said, eyes open, wide awake, and John sat up in his chair. And I looked at him and I said, how do you feel, John? And he said, I feel fine. And he immediately burst into tears. And I put my arms around him and I said, are you okay? And he didn't say anything. And he got up and he went to the door and he put his shoes on and he ran out of my home and drove away. And I thought that it was a bit peculiar. I thought I would have had a conversation with him or something, but he was just gone. And I told my producers about it and we had talked about it, but never really thought about it past that. And a number of weeks went by and my phone rang and I was at work, getting ready to do a show. And I answer the phone. I say, hello, Danny Z. And he says, hello, Danny Z. This is John. And I said, John who? And he said, John the Stutterer. And I said, John, you ran out so quickly. You didn't even give me a chance to talk to you. You ran out. I couldn't believe it. You were just gone. And John said, I was in Niagara Falls with my fiance. We had been together for 6 years. And I had asked her to marry me. And he said, we had never had a conversation. Everything that I'd ever said to her, I had to write down. And he said, when I heard myself speak, I was worried it was going to wear off. So I ran to her. And when I got to the hotel, I ran in and I started to talk to her. And we didn't do anything touristy, we didn't go anywhere. We laid on the bed and we talked for almost 30 hours until it was our time to leave. And as he's telling me this story, I have tears running down my cheeks because I can't believe that this man's life had changed so significantly. And I said through tear-stained words, I said, John, what can I do? How can I help you? And he said, my wife and I are standing at the altar. And I'm holding my cell phone in my hand. I wanted you to hear me say my vows. And I listened to this man express his love to his wife and tell her how much she meant to him and how they were going to spend the rest of their lives together. And when his vows were finished, he said, thank you, and he hung up the telephone. A few weeks later, I received a picture of him and his wife standing at the altar, holding the cell phone out in front of them as he was saying his vows. Brings tears to my heart and to my eyes, even thinking about that. So when I think about legacy, I don't think it has anything to do with my success. I don't think it has anything to do with the achievements I've made. I don't think it has anything to do with the accolades or the awards or anything a person does or the amount of money that they make. I think that legacy might be something that you don't even know. It's like writing your own story. When we write our own story, we choose the pen that we use. Perhaps we choose the color of the pen, maybe even the color of the paper that we tell our story on. And our entire life and our story can be filled with incredible ups and downs. We can write about romance and we can write about happiness. We can write about sadness and defeat. We can write about anything. But the only thing that we don't get to choose is how long we write. None of us know how many pages are in our book. None of us know how our story ends. When I consider legacy and how I've written my story, it's just been an incredible, incredible read. It's been filled with the ultimate romance, the ultimate hardships, the ultimate victories. And I truly think it's such a fantastic story. When I bring it all back and talk about legacy and talk about that story, if you asked me to end the book, if you asked me to write it all and say, this is how my story is, or this is what I should be remembered by, or this is what's important, these are my achievements, I don't know that I would include any of them in my story. I don't think that if anybody was reading the book about me, it should be about those things. I hope my biggest legacy becomes a story that I was never told. I hope my biggest legacy is because someone is telling a story of how I influence them. It's like I was talking in the beginning about how Glenn changed my life with a pair of white shoes. I hope my biggest legacy, I never know how it influenced somebody else. I hope the biggest part of my journey in my life is unmeasured. I hope I never know how much I influenced somebody and how I painted a picture or a story that influenced somebody else. I hope that they say my name because it was memorable and it changed how they wrote their story and what they did with their life because I had meaning, even if I don't know what that is. And there's nothing that would make me prouder or more hopeful than to know that my children, my grandchildren, my family hear a story about me for the very first time because I wasn't there to tell it. That's what legacy means to me. So please check out my ridiculousness at DannyWith4Zs.com and make sure you connect. I would love to be a part of your legacy moving forward. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so proud to be.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.